Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts on the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein, and today we're here with Kevin Kahn. Kevin Kahn is a senior fellow at Intel. Kevin, can you please tell us what you do at Intel?
Well, I help run the Communications Technology Lab, which is a part of Intel's corporate technology group. And our responsibilities in CTG in general are to try to look out ahead of the product groups at interesting technologies that will be important to Intel. The Communications Technology Lab, as the name suggests, is specifically oriented toward communications technologies, wireless, internet protocols, optical technologies, things of that sort.
Intel's been talking a lot about the explosion of mobility, the transition from desktops to notebooks, the delivery of mobile internet devices, and the delivery of the full internet experience on mobile platforms. What's Intel's vision, really, for where we want to take mobile devices in the next 10 years?
Well, I think we'd like people to be able to do anything that they can do today and, of course, in the future on their computer, on a mobile computer. The nature of the interfaces may be a little bit different in the mobile space. They're optimized for people on the go. But the kinds of communications you're going to need to allow that to happen require high bandwidth, require ubiquity, essentially all the things that would let you get that kind of information and experience on a device that isn't tethered.
So really looking at what we expect in terms of networking speeds when we're in our offices, wherever we are in the world, is that what the vision is? Or
we'd certainly like to get as close to that as possible. Now, the reality of the physics is that wireless communication is always at a disadvantage relative to the best physical wired type communication. But with that constraint in mind, we can do very good in the wireless space, and we'll be able to do increasingly better in the future as we apply more and more computation and more sophisticated technologies to the wireless problem.
I think everyone's experienced the beauty of Wi-Fi and what that's brought to our lives in terms of being able to connect while you're on the go. Intel's been talking about the advent of WiMAX for a while. Can you tell us where we are with WiMAX and really where we need to go with that technology?
Well, I think we're sort of at the beginning of the rollout of WiMAX. Unlike Wi-Fi, which started its life as something of a viral technology, something that people would just buy an access point, make available in their home or in their business, WiMAX is an infrastructure-oriented technology. That means that companies, carriers, have to actually deploy base stations and equipment to provide coverage. So there's a little bit more of an investment up front in order to make that happen. But that investment is beginning to happen. You see announcements all around the world of carriers who are deploying WiMAX infrastructure. And Intel has described the parts we're making available for the mobile devices that will also speak WiMAX. And so we're at the beginning of the ramp, and it's reasonable to expect that over the next year or two, you're going to see the beginnings of real services that people will take advantage of using WiMAX in the broad marketplace.
And do you look at WiMAX as a global phenomenon, or is this happening in the U.S. first? Where do we see the uptake?
It's absolutely a global phenomenon. Certainly in the U.S., there are a couple of noticeable carriers, particularly Sprint and Clearwire, that are going to be deploying WiMAX. But we see WiMAX deployments around the world. And that's really important for a mobility-enabling technology. Today, people travel the world. Most business people will find themselves in a lot of different places, and they want their equipment to be able to connect wherever they are. So making it a global phenomenon, making it a technology that's available widely around the globe, will be important for people who want to take advantage of it in order to always be available on the network, utilizing the advantages of these mobile devices.
And from a standpoint of going a little bit deeper, what are the technical challenges in delivering this type of connectivity?
Radio is a challenging technology. It always is. In some sense, it's probably the most magical of our technologies. And WiMAX, being a wide area technology that tries to provide data services at high speed, utilizes a lot of very sophisticated capabilities within radio. You have to be able to do some fairly complex computations in order to decode the information that's coming over the radio system. And of course, doing that is something really that we've only been able to do over the last few years as our basic computing power in our radio chips have gotten better and better. So the challenges are building radios that operate at low power, at high speed, in a small form factor. You have to be able to put the antennas that are needed in that form factor. And you have to be able to deal with the interference that those devices will find when they're operating in a variety of physical situations. So all of that makes actually making these kinds of systems work and work well for people a challenging problem, but one I think we're well on route to have solved.
Now, Kevin, since WiMAX is getting ready to be deployed and your team is actually in the labs, I bet you guys are focused on something else than the first generation of WiMAX. Where is your focus today?
Well, our lab, having done a lot of work with the existing generation of WiMAX, actually is looking at new things. First off, one thing we're looking at is the next generation of WiMAX. There will be another rev to that spec to create new capabilities and better performance. And to do that, we need to make some theoretical breakthroughs on the radio front. And so some of the people in my lab are working on those problems. There's also a lot of other interesting technologies kind of in the pipe behind that. Probably one of the most interesting is in the short-range area, where today we see ultra-wideband radios beginning to show up for short-range communication among devices. Beyond ultra-wideband, we're beginning as an industry and in our labs to look at operation in the 60 gigahertz band. This is an enormously high frequency, but it's interesting because first, there is actually frequency available worldwide there to use for this purpose, and a lot of it. And second, our technology is now at the point where it looks like we can cost effectively build radios that operate in that band. And so the potential exists to create extremely high-speed capability, again, aimed primarily at short-range communication among devices.
Can you tell us about the usage models for ultra-wideband?
One simple way to think about it is all the things that we do today with, say, universal serial bus, being able to do that without the wire. For example, being able to do very quick sync and go of your music player device with your PC, be able to very quickly synchronize the address information on your phone with the information on your PC or at your home or at work, moving media around among devices. All these things require that you have extremely high data rates, and these data rates are well above what you can achieve today with Wi-Fi or WiMAX systems. And so both ultra-wideband and 60 gigahertz, our radios are optimized for much higher speed operation at the cost of only going a relatively short distance.
What's the role of the industry in this, and who are all the key players that will help make it a reality?
Well, it takes a lot of players to make this happen. Certainly, at the bottom of the stack, you have the people that build radios. Intel, of course, is one of those. And these radios have to be built and built cheaply. These are consumer devices. They have to have good economics to them. The device manufacturers, of course, have to be able to integrate those radios into their devices. And interestingly, radio is a much tougher technology to integrate. You have to get your antenna placements correct. You have to be careful about interference in the box. It takes very careful design of just the physical enclosures in order to make devices actually work with radios reliably. And then, of course, for any of the technologies that require infrastructure deployment, you have to have that done. So you need the carriers, companies that are going to make the services available over those radios. And all these things have to align and be deployed in about the same time frame. Or obviously you have radios with no service, or you have people offering a service but no customers that can possibly take the service. And so you kind of have to orchestrate everything from the physical chip implementations of radios all the way up through the services that carriers make available.
One final question for you, Kevin. You know, obviously one of the most senior technologists at Intel, and obviously you've inspired a lot of innovation during your time at the company. What is it that gives you passion about your job?
Well, I think it's the chance to change the world in some way. You know, when I joined Intel back in 1976, you know, computers were massive things stuffed in air-conditioned rooms. They weren't things you carried around in your pocket. So the world has changed dramatically over that time, and it's certainly been fulfilling to be a part of that as it's changed. And I see the same thing going forward. There's just an enormous amount of opportunity to continue to make technology more beneficial for users. And there are a lot of challenges to doing that. And so I guess the passion comes from being able to move the technology in ways that actually make it relevant to people.
Well, as a road warrior, I appreciate all of the innovations that you've driven thus far into mobility and look forward to the others. Thanks for being with us today. I hope that you can be with us on a future Chip Chat.
My pleasure.
Join us next week for another edition of Chip Chat.